Exodus chapter 29. We made it to the tail end of this chapter last week, and we're going to finish the chapter this morning, beginning in verse 38, so you can kind of get some bearings here. The discussion that we're in the middle of really has to do with consecration or sanctification, the setting apart of one's life for the Lord. We saw there in the previous section of chapter 29 that, you know, there was an order for the priestly ministry. There was a way in which the priests were to serve. And we are the priests now. Peter says we are the royal priesthood or the holy priesthood. And so we learn much from understanding how the priest operated, what they did and how they did it and so forth. But when we get to this next section here, we find that they were to do something specifically on a daily basis. This was to be done, and it was called continual. You'll see here in just a minute, it was the continual burnt offering. Now, the greatest need a person has in their life is salvation, wouldn't you say? We all need to know that we can come to God and there's forgiveness waiting for us. We can come and put our faith in Christ and our sins are completely forgiven, blotted out, no more, never again to be brought up or put on our account forever. It's as far as the east is from the west, my iniquity is. Isn't that good news? That's the greatest need we have. I don't care who you are or what goes through your thinking. You really, deep down, want to know that you can be forgiven for everything you've ever done. If you have that, if you've embraced that, you know the value of it. It's so important. We need salvation. That's really what God offers to mankind through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. Just believe in Christ, put your trust in him, and ask him to forgive you, and he will do so. And then he moves into your heart, moves into your life, and literally indwells you. The Holy Spirit will come inside you. That's the greatest need. Now, after that, the greatest need we have as believers is this idea here that we're going to cover today, which is dealing with fellowship with God. After you become one of God's children through the adoption that comes through believing in Christ, he literally adopts you into his family. But now that you're in the family, so to speak, the greatest need we have is fellowship with God. Like your own personal family, you know, I know for me and for my wife, we desire fellowship with our family. You know what I'm saying? We don't get enough of that. Time constraints and busy schedules and all the rest. I don't get enough fellowship in the church, really. Time is just so precious. It's so limited. But we really desire fellowship, especially, though, with God. This is why in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, John says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." Now, we desire that as believers. Once you come to know God, then you really have a deep desire to fellowship with him. He also has a desire to fellowship with you and me. And that's the mystery of it all, isn't it? I can understand why I want to have fellowship with God, because he's awesome. The big question is, why in the world does he want to have any fellowship with me or with you, for that matter? But this is how God is. This is who he is. You know, we just saying he's a good, good father. That's who he is, right? And we're loved by him. That's who we are. You know, people can try and figure that out. I wouldn't bother. It's a mystery as to why God would care about us. It was David who said, "Lord, who is man? Who am I that you would consider me? Who am I that you would even notice me?" But God not only notices us, he wants to be with us and dwell with us, you see. And I need that. It would be like losing the ability to breathe to not be able to get with God. Don't you think? I need him. I need him all day. And many times I need him all night. There are times that the night seasons that we need God so desperately. Now, the term fellowship, it's interesting. We've talked about this many times, and we throw that word around. It's a Christian term, primarily. Many times you don't hear that in the world, you know, this idea of fellowship. They might call it hanging out or whatever. But the term fellowship really lends itself to the idea of spiritual companionship. So I need spiritual companionship with God. That's what I'm in need of. And that's really all I'm in need of, folks. If I have spiritual companionship with God, fellowship with him, then everything else is really going to go into its proper place. If I do not have spiritual companionship with God, then I have companionship with something else. Thus, I might be evidenced in that in my life through the things that I'm going through or living like or experiencing. So I need this, you need this. And so we look now at verse 38, it says, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. This was, again, to be all the time, continually. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually, every single day. By the way, the priests did not get a day off. The royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, that's you and me, we do not get a day off. The only reason a Christian would want a day off from being a Christian is so they can go sin. That's the only reason. So when people say, oh, I'm just going to take a break, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take a break from being a Christian. Ask David. He took a break one night. It cost him a lot. So the point is, daily, day by day, continually, you offer two lambs. Watch this. One lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And the one lamb that's offered with a tenth deal of flour, with a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine. So this is the offering with the lamb. There's flour, oil, and wine. This is the offering package, if you would, that they were to make up. This is how it was to be presented to the Lord. It was for a drink offering, it says. A drink offering. This is something that indicates being poured out. An offering that's poured out is a drink offering. And it pictures something that was not only done for us. Of course, you already know all these things that we're talking about. All these elements are Jesus. But he was a drink offering for us. It was him, really, that's being pictured here. He is the Lamb of God. You know that. He is also the flour or the bread of life. Amen. But he is also the oil. The Holy Spirit is the one who came upon Jesus, who Jesus sent back after his ascension. The oil is the Holy Spirit. And then the wine pictures joy. By the way, people say, how do you know that wine pictures joy? Well, in Psalm 104, in verse 15, this is what the psalmist declares. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Here we have the three elements that are just part of this, happens to be this offering, this drink offering. It's the flour, the bread, it's the oil, and it's the wine. But the wine is what makes the gladness of the heart. In other words, it's a picture of joy. And it is throughout Scripture. So get this down. This is an interesting part of the picture for us to look at just for a moment. The body of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, he was like bread. He was a man in the physical form. And yet he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, which is part of this offering. And he was anointed with the oil of gladness, joy, above all his fellows. In other words, he is this offering, if you would. He's the lamb. We know that for sure. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Passover lamb. But he's also the bread. He's also the oil. He's also the wine. He is the Holy Spirit indwelt in us. He is the, of course, the wine of gladness, the joy of my life. And that's why the psalmist says, all these things the Lord strengthens me in. The strength of my life is what's pictured here for me. This is all about Jesus, you see. But watch now. It goes on and says in verse 41, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening and shalt do thereunto according to the meal offering. It should be meal if your Bible says meat. It should be as the same as the morning and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. They would take this offering and completely burn it up on the altar, pour out everything, the wine, put it all on the altar and let the fire consume it. It's an offering by fire and it was completely to be consumed so the Lord could enjoy this. This was for the Lord, and the people would not take part in this. They wouldn't eat of this as in other parts of the offerings. They would take part, but not this one. This was to be done every morning and every evening. And this is a real key, folks. Every morning, every evening. The idea that you can start your day with Jesus Christ. And this is what's indicated here. Start your day. First thing in the morning, giving honor to Christ. And of course, then the last thing in the evening that you do, give honor to Jesus Christ, which would assume then everything in between would also be giving honor to the Lord. So that's the idea here. But watch this now as we continue reading. It says, verse 42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So he goes on and says, that's where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Now, this is interesting. Remember now, God said he would meet with Aaron, the high priest, at the mercy seat, which is in the Holy of Holies, correct? This is kind of different. This is a new thing for Israel to hear that God will actually meet with them and speak with them at the door of the tabernacle. This is a new deal because they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. But the Holy of Holies represented that one thing, that one work that would happen one day a year, and that is the atonement for sin, or the covering of the sin of the nation for that year. Here, God says, in fellowship or in companionship with you, I will meet you at the door of the tent or the tabernacle. And he says, and there I will meet with you and the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So here's the thing. When they would offer this morning and evening, two things would result from this. And this is important. This is applying to your life, my life. My life will be affected by this particular truth right here, one way or the other. So two things would happen. Number one, the Lord would meet and speak. By the way, when the Lord wants to meet, he wants to speak. He doesn't necessarily need me to speak when we meet. But one thing's for certain, when we meet with the Lord, he means to speak something. So when we come together, we should expect to hear the Lord speak. Don't you think? So if you're coming in thinking, oh, God's not going to have anything for me. Oh, yes, he will. He has something to say to you. That's why he wants to meet with you. He wanted to meet there and he wanted to speak there. Second thing that would happen is that the tabernacle would be sanctified, it says, set apart. Now, the tabernacle was meant for specific worship and offerings and so forth. So is this tabernacle. This tent, if you would, this body of mine, it's meant for specific worship and offerings and so forth for the Lord. I'm set apart for him. That's the idea of sanctification. But note this, it's upon the offering of this particular sacrifice in this way that brings about meeting with and hearing from God, as well as being sanctified or set apart for God. My life is altered by this truth one way or the other. Either I will experience fullness because I practice this, or emptiness because I don't. I may experience richness in my life or poverty in my life. I may experience joy, or I may experience misery. Based upon this truth, and I'm speaking spiritually here, not materially. Spiritually speaking, I can have joy, fullness, I can have richness and so forth, or I can have emptiness and poverty and all that spiritually, all dependent upon this reality right here. So it's a big question here is, do you do this? Is this something that you practice? Is this something you actually incorporate into your life? What are you talking about? Every morning and every evening, who gets honored? Who is honored in your life? This is the question. Because people will say to me, I just want to hear from the Lord. Okay? He'd like to meet with you and speak with you. I just want to be set apart for God. I want God to use my life for something. Okay? He wants to sanctify your tabernacle, set you apart. But listen, if you want those things, then you need to start your day with honoring God through this remembrance of Jesus Christ, the offering that he is for you, that he's been for you. He is the Lamb. He is represented here as the one who was made in likeness of man, but yet was anointed with the Holy Spirit, conceived literally by the Holy Spirit, and has the ability to fill a person's life with the joy of himself. Jesus says, I've come that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. So all this is to say you can have as much of this kind of joyful, full, exciting, rich life in Christ that you want. It all depends on whether in the morning and in the evening he's being honored. You are remembering what he's done for you and placing that honor upon him. Personally, having companionship spiritually with him, that will determine whether or not that you have joy or not. See, here's the interesting thing. We can be joyful, there's no question about it. But if we're not joyful, listen, if we're not joyful, it's our fault. Oh, I don't like this one. This was not working for me, Pastor Matt. I'm sorry. I got a lot of things to be not joyful about. So do I. Don't we all? But a lack of joy, listen, a lack of joy means a lack of fellowship. A lack of joy in a Christian's life means a lack of spiritual companionship with God. Because why? Because I'm not honoring his son in the morning. I'm not honoring his son in the evening. I'm doing something else. I'm living some other reality. And so often people say, I want so much from God, but they do so little to promote that. They do virtually nothing sometimes to encourage fellowshipping with God, and yet they wonder, why in the world am I so empty? Why am I so barren in my walk with the Lord? Well, it's all right here. It's all right here, you see. All you have to do is remember Jesus. Put him in the place of authority and honor in your life every single morning. Continually, note that, this is a continual sacrifice that would be made over and over again every single day. Now, you don't have to do this. I need to make this clear. Well, I don't? No, you don't have to. They didn't need to bring these sacrifices. Look at Leviticus chapter 1, just a few pages over from where we are. Leviticus chapter 1, this savor of a sacrifice, this offering, is kind of described a little bit more deeply. It says in verse 1 of Leviticus 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, of the flock, and if his offering be a burnt sacrifice, remember that's the one we're talking about, burned up completely, this is the continual burnt offering, If it's a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So you don't have to do it. You didn't have to bring the offering. And people say, well, I mean, if you don't bring the offering, you weren't saved. No, this isn't the offering that saves. This is the offering that allows the believer to experience spiritual companionship with God. Closeness, fellowship, intimacy, kind of hanging with, so to speak, the Lord all the time. And this is how it was to be done. It has to be voluntary, though. You can't force a person to do this. You can't force a person to honor God, honor Jesus Christ every morning and every evening. Can't be forced upon a person. They have to willingly, voluntarily bring that to the Lord and say, I'm going to honor you today. I'm going to give you honor. So make that understanding really stick in your thinking. This is something that God doesn't say you have to do, but if you do it, it will result in two things. I will meet with you, speak with you. I will sanctify your tabernacle. I will use your life, and I will meet with you regularly and speak with you continually. This is what I'm looking for. You? I want to meet with God, man. I want him to be with me, because I understand without him, the other reality is very plain to me, and that is emptiness and loneliness and wondering what's going on all the time, not having that companionship. You know, there's some things that will hinder this, right? I mean, there's reasons why people don't honor Christ every morning, every evening. Some people will say, well, I'm just so busy, I forget. Really? You forget? Oh, yeah, I forgot God. Now, listen. It sounds terrible, but that might be true oftentimes. Not that you forgot who he was, but you forgot who he is in your life. It's funny what we forget and what we never forget. You know what I'm saying? When I was a kid, I used to go to lots of, you know, professional ball games, baseball, basketball, football. I lived in L.A., and, man, I got free tickets to everything because my uncle was a supervisor of L.A. County, and he always got tickets, and he never went to anything. So I got tickets to the Rams, which are back in L.A., by the way. I might root for them now. The Dodgers, the Lakers. Right? I used to go to all these games, and did you know what? When I had tickets to one of those games, I never forgot. I never forgot I had tickets to go see the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's on the calendar, circled, marked, notes. I'm not forgetting that. Thought about it all the time until the game, right? I'm going this Friday or what, right? Funny what we never forget and what we say we so easily forget. But you got to wonder who's worthy of remembrance. Because God simply says here, do this continually. Do this in the morning. Do it in the evening. Do it as a constant reminder to yourself. If I want to experience this, folks, I need to remember that the Lord wants me to voluntarily, willfully come and say, Lord, I want you. Not, Lord, I need something from you. Oh, I know I go to the Lord for those reasons. I need something. Where am I going? I'm going to go talk to the Lord. And a lot. I need something desperately. I'm going to go talk to him day and night. Every morning, every night. I'm talking because I'm so needy right now. Lord, you know me. I just need something. Right. I'm just passionate about my prayer. You? When I'm in need. But just going to him and saying, Lord, I just want you. I just want the sweet companionship spiritually that you offer, just to be near you, is what I'm really longing for. That's really, I believe, truly, that's the heart of God for us, is that we would want to come and just be with him. That he would be able to meet with us and speak with us. That he'd be able to use our lives for some purpose that he has that would be awesome, that would be rich, you see. If I want to experience this, I must come in the morning to him. Come in the evening to him. Well, he knows where to find me, people say. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. But he said, come. You come to me in the morning. I'll set your day up. You come to me in the evening. I'll let you rest. I'll be there with you. I'll be your spiritual companion, you see. Well, I know this all sounds good, Pastor Matt. I mean, the whole devotion thing sounds so good and so right. I can never seem to just get it together because, I mean, I've got so many problems. What about all my problems? What about all my unanswered questions in life? I've got so many questions that need answers to. I just don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do there. So many things, folks, listen, that we put in that camp. My problems, my questions, my issues. What about all those things? So many of those things will not matter in light of this truth right here. I discover that when I get in the presence of the Lord and we're just having spiritual companionship, fellowship, that satisfies such a deep need in me that I don't really, who cares about that? I mean, that question doesn't even really matter in the big scheme of things. Or this problem or this issue. Okay, and I'm not minimizing problems and issues. We all have them. But you understand, they are not the thing that needs to overrule your fellowship and sweet companionship with the Lord. In fact, Satan will try and use those things to divert you from this truth. He'll say, remember your problems. Remember? How about that question? Oh, what about this? What about, oh yeah, huh? Yep, that's true. Boy, I am just overwhelmed. I'm just overcome. There's no way I can handle life. You're right. So what do? We pull away. We pull away or we try to find some other way to deal with those issues for us, you see. Let me just say this. It's not about the things in life. It's about life in Christ. This life has all kinds of things that are going to come at you, try and mess you up, try and pull you away, try and take you down. But it's not about things being resolved. It's about life in Christ, which resolves all things. He's the answer. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is everything that I need to resolve these issues of my life. And it's so comical, really. I mean, he says here, let me keep reading. He says he's going to sanctify the tabernacle, verse 44, the congregation, and the altar. He says, I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And he says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am their God. He says, it's me with you. It's me in your presence and you in my presence that is really going to bring about this union, this communion, which, by the way, I always remember communion is come to be in union with God. That's what it means, to be one, or to be in union with God is communion. But God says that's based upon my presence with you. He says, I'm going to meet you and speak with you. I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to sanctify you. All these things are terms that God is using to describe his presence with us. Isn't that really what we're dying for? I don't know about you, but if God's with me, if his presence is near, I'm in his presence, I'm in communion with him, I'm in fellowship, I have companionship with my God spiritually, I'm okay. I'm all right. Well, does it mean everything's hunky-dory? No. Nothing's hunky-dory, perhaps. This world's messed up, if you didn't notice. Everything in this world is tragic. You know, it's a traumatizing experience sometimes to be alive, isn't it? But then there's God in his presence, you see. The Bible tells us that in his presence is fullness of joy. That's what I'm looking for, full joy. How do I get that? In his presence. See, if you're looking for satisfaction somewhere else, in something else, if something else is what you're seeking, then you're going to be disappointed continually. God says, I want this continual reality in your life, right? Fellowship with me, companionship with me. But if you're seeking something else, you'll always be disappointed. You'll always be hungry. You'll always be thirsty. You'll always be empty, dissatisfied. Every day, who can't relate to that? Season after season for some. Over and over, every day. Wow, I'm just disappointed again. I'm just discouraged again. Life is just this way for me. I don't know. It's the Eeyore syndrome, isn't it? Remember Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh? Yeah, life is just... Yeah, it's not one way for me. Life is just hard. And then you die. Huh? It's Eeyore, man. And that's sadly, that's where Christians often live. They live in that kind of reality. But that lack of joy is simply a lack of fellowship, folks. That's it. A lack of joy in my life is lack of fellowship with God. I cannot be upset, angry, bored even, if I am in close fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to have fullness, you see. So we denounce fellowship because we just don't do anything to promote it. And then we say, I'm sad, I'm empty, I'm lonely, I'm what? I don't have anything, I don't have anybody. Okay, listen. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know some of those things, but don't get me started either. Because this, because listen, we all have that going on. We all have this, I've got so many things, everything goes wrong. I know, but fixing this or that or them or him or her or whatever it might be is not going to solve your problem. Well, they are my problem. Or it is my problem. That will solve it. No, it will not. Because no matter where you go, there you are. Huh? And let me just say this as nice as I can. The biggest problem you have is you. The biggest problem I've got is me. And the issue is not out there. The issue is in here. And I need to look at the Lord every morning and say, you're on the throne. You be honored today. Take this tabernacle, Lord, and fill me with the knowledge of the Lamb of God. Give me the bread of life today. Pour your Holy Spirit's oil on me today. Let me be a drink offering. Pour the wine of gladness on me, Lord. And if you're in his presence, that's what will start to happen. That's what will take place. I have an easier time doing this, I'll be honest with you. I have an easier time doing this in the morning. Right? you wake up, you get out of bed, you're, you know, I know when me and my wife, we head right to our Bibles and our, you know, devotions or whatever we're going to do. We just go there in the morning, Lord, you know. It's kind of the end of the day that things are getting a little out of hand or sorted, and you kind of forget. And you know, it's, again, don't mistake this. God doesn't love you any less because you do this or don't do this. He doesn't love you more or less depending on what you do here. But you will experience a very different reality based upon how you approach this truth. Your experience may be intimate and sweet and full of God's communion with you or not, and that will determine really how other things in your life are going. But in verse 45, God says he wants to be our God, and he doesn't want anything else to be. And if it's something else that's put there for any reason, for any season, then God will allow that to be worked out. He'll just allow the consequences of that to be realized. It's not punishment. It's just what it is. If you put something else in a place of honor in your life where you think it's going to satisfy you, God will allow you to see that it doesn't satisfy you. Is that fair? Sure. God says, put me there. I'll give you riches, wisdom, I'll give you peace, I'll give you joy, I'll give you all these wonderful things, because me and you are going to be on the same page. We're going to be in fellowship, communion with each other. You'll be my companion spiritually. Oh, I like that, Lord. Okay, let's go. But if you go somewhere else, you see, then he will allow you to see the dissatisfaction, the emptiness of that pursuit. Is that right? Is that okay? Well, for some people, it's not. Some people get really upset with God. I don't know why he's not allowing me to be full of joy and have all these things in my life that I'm looking for. Well, because you're looking for those things to be God for you. And God's not going to let you have that and have, you know, the peace and joy that comes with it, because there is none there. You think there would be, but there's not. Isn't it true that you're not disappointed in God? You're disappointed in those things that couldn't be God for you. Couldn't be God for me. I'm disappointed in them. God is just simply allowing me to see it for what it is. And some people are slow learners when it comes to this truth. I'm telling you, I've been there. I know that slow learning process. Well, I'm going to try it again. Try it again. You know, it's like somebody running into a brick wall over and over. Pretty soon, man, you get a headache. But I'm going to hit it again. This will work for me. This will. And then lo and behold, as they're laying on the floor with a bloody head, they look to God and say, why can't you give me what I'm looking for? Well, because it's not a brick wall that you're looking for, really. You're looking for God and hitting a brick wall. That's the idea. That's the point here. How interested are you in this? What do you mean by that? I mean, how interesting does this sound to you? Well, I like the joy part and the peace part, and I like those things. It sounds good to me. Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's the thing. We commonly shoot ourselves in the foot spiritually because we are interested in the parts of the relationship with God that bring the peace, but we're not interested in how we get there. In other words, I might be interested in the end result, but I'm not interested in the journey. I want to get to the top of that mountain. I want to get to this beautiful pasture. I want to get by this stream of refreshment. I want to get there. Look. Oh, it's so pretty. This sounds so good. Okay, so let's get going. What does that mean? It means we're going to walk by faith. We're going to take steps that encourage and promote spiritual living. is there another way to get all the goodies? See, this is a Christian walk that we're on. It involves steps. It involves one step after the other. It involves living this truth. It involves interacting with God. See, this is the mystery to me. And I ask this question of myself. Why is it that I want this wonderful relationship with God, but really when I boil it down oftentimes, I realize I just want what he can give me. And my lack of interest in just being with him is striking. And God loves to bless us. Don't mistake that. He loves to give us spiritual blessing. Oh, I'd love to pour out peace and joy and all these wonderful good things for you. I want you to enjoy. I actually came, Jesus said, he came to give us that. I came so your joy would be full. That my joy, the joy of Jesus Christ, who's anointed with the oil of gladness, his joy would actually be filling us. That's what he wants. And he's not stingy. And he's not holding back. The reality is that too many of his people are not interested. And again, not in the result. They're not interested in the process. Now, I'd like to tell you, not really, because it would be anti-Bible, but people would like to hear, I think, sometimes that you can get there without any walk by faith or spiritual application of the truths of God. You know, you can just get there some other way. You'll just arrive at that at some point, like osmosis. You just, all of a sudden, oh, I'm a spiritual giant, all of a sudden. But if you don't take these truths of God's word and put them into use in your life, then for many, they'll just remain spiritual midgets, never becoming a spiritual giant, so to speak. In other words, and you know, I know this is somewhat insulting for us. It insults my flesh, I'll be honest with you. But let me say this. Anything that doesn't insult my flesh isn't really worth hearing. My flesh gets zero out of God's word and the truth that's in God's word. My flesh gets nothing out of it. In fact, it's repulsed by it. My spiritual man says, yeah, this truth, man, that's right. Get him. Get him, Lord. That's my spiritual mind. Yes, we're going for it. We're going to go in there and we're going to spend time with the Lord. We're going to put him on the throne every night, every morning, again and again, over and over. We're going to do this. I'm going to be with you. You're going to be in my presence. I'm going to have the fullness of joy because I'm interested in you. If I don't spend time with Jesus personally, I lose interest. And there are some pretty disinterested Christians, sorry to say, of which I've been at times. How do you know? It's really easy. God says, you honor me in the morning, you honor me in the evening, you honor me at supper time. And you'll be my little baby and I'll love you all the time. No, the point is, it's you honor me every morning, every evening. I will meet with you, speak with you. Get interested in me, God says, and I'll show up. Be interested in me, honoring me every morning, I will be there. I'll meet with you, speak with you, and I will sanctify your tabernacle. I will set apart your life for something very unique, very special, very awesome. I can do this, God says, but you are going to need to do the part of honoring me. You know, I will be glorified in your presence when you honor me in your presence. So often here at the church, we hear from people, well, what do you guys do there? How do you operate as a church? Pretty simple, really. We teach the word. We seek to honor and glorify Jesus Christ through worship and praise and our lives being offered to him in service. We want to be available for him, and we want this community to know Christ. We want people to get saved. We want to witness to this world that's around us. So it's simple, and yet it may be too simple for some. Some people are looking for something else. Listen, beware of this. Beware of this. When you go seeking out churches that do other things, just too many other things, because so often those other things can just be kind of diversions away from the simplicity of spiritual companionship with the Lord. I want to encourage that in you. I think the Lord wants to encourage that in you, that if you're in spiritual communion with him, if you're close to the Lord, if you're honoring the Lord, he will bring about all the things that need to be done. It's a supernatural thing. He will just start to move. And when you're close to the Lord, you will talk about the Lord. Whatever you're really interested in, you will talk about it. Believe me, I've heard the stories. I know. It's the way that what's on your mind. Well, you'll tell people what's on your heart. You'll tell people what's going on in your life. You'll tell people. Because that's what you're interested in. I find it challenging when Christians that claim that they're in a relationship with God never talk about him. They never bring him up, ever, in a conversation. It's as if, you know, this is just a thing I do instead of this is who I am. To honor God in the morning and in the evening, to put him first in the early and the late part of your day, means that you really are interested in him. And when you're interested in God, man, he will meet with you and talk to you and separate you and make things work in your life in a way that they never could. Are you with me on this? This is so key. The way you handle this truth right here is going to alter your life radically, one way or the other. If you embrace this truth, whoo, get ready. God's going to meet and speak and sanctify. Things are going to happen. You're going to experience the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, because that's what he wants to give us. That's what he wants to do in us. But ask yourself this question. When you're asking God for whatever it is you're asking him for, why is it that you ask God for things? Just analyze that at some point, perhaps even today. When you pray to God, what is it that you're really trying to accomplish? What is it that you're really after? Because so often, I'm not really asking God to give me what it would take, or pursuing God for what he could make in me. I'm really after what I think God's going to be able to do for me. And the accomplished work is not my holiness, but simply something I want to be happy in. And that's what I'm looking for. Well, doesn't God want me to be happy? No. Never says that. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, what's wrong with being happy? Well, because happiness is based on happenings. Holiness is based on internal wholeness. I am whole. I'm not partial. I'm not fragmented. I'm not a quarter. I'm not an eighth. I'm whole. That's what God wants for you. Why? Because everything else will be right if you're holy. Happiness is overrated, because if you find your happiness goes away because something happens, that's a problem. You know why? Because something always happens. Doesn't it? Every season, something's happening. Yes, it is. What's that mean for your happiness? Ooh, there it goes. Well, that's really not worth much, is it? Holiness means I'm whole and my relationship with God is intact and I'm his companion and he's my companion spiritually, and we're fellowshipping and we're having a time of intimacy, which means that all these other things, hey, they come and go, right? They come and go. Things move in, move out, but Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never move. So lock on. Put him first. Let him be honored every morning, every evening. He will do that that you're really longing for, and that is he'll meet with you and speak with you. And he'll set you apart. And you just might be used by the Lord. And that would be of real value. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of how you would have us live, just putting you first. Every morning, every evening, we honor you, Jesus. And you work out the details of our life. You will come and meet and speak and hang out with us, dwell with us, sanctify us. In your presence will be fullness of joy. We will have everything that we're really longing for. And all these other things that don't really matter, won't really matter. So we praise you for that. We thank you for your word. Bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen.